Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I want to thank you for what you've already done, how you've blessed us, enriched us. Father, may we find favor with you today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
We're going to be in Matthew, 14th chapter. Have you ever heard that phrase, comfort food?
Yes.
Yeah. I know a lot about food. I'm an expert. But there's something about comfort food. See, comfort food is more than something that just tastes good. It brings a memory back to you. When I was growing up, my grandmother made this amazing corn.
Oh, I love corn too.
It was my sister and brother-in-law has a recipe, and they can get pretty close. But when I eat that corn, not only do I love the corn, it reminds me of my grandmother. See, that's what comfort food. My comfort food won't be yours. Trust me. My comfort food is not what Don Cox calls comfort food. Trust me. We don't eat the same thing. This comfort food is something that brings back memories. You know, Mike, you know what a comfort food for my wife would be? Chili dogs. You know why that would be a comfort food for her? Because when I make those chili dogs, she reminds me, that's the first thing I ever made. So when she eats those chili dogs, she remembers that. When you have comfort food, it brings back memories. Things in the past. You know, if you're here over 50 today, and most of you are, you would remember the days when families sat down at tables to eat. When my mom passed away, and the house that we live in now became our house. One of the first things when we remodeled the house, one of the first things we bought was a huge table. Has 8 chairs. We envisioned that we would sit around that table and have family dinner. Nobody has time for that anymore. Nobody sits down to eat anymore. We have, like Chris was talking about today, we had fast food. You didn't have fast food 50 years ago. Food wasn't fast. It was good, but it wasn't fast food. One of my favorite TV shows is a show called Blue Bloods. In every episode of that show, they always have the family going to church, coming home on Sunday, and having dinner at the table. And it's one of the most popular things about that show. I read somewhere, somebody was telling me that they have to redo that shot over and over again. And this one lady says, I've eaten mashed potatoes for 4 hours trying to get the shot. it's just not something we do anymore. It's the way life has changed. With all our modern advances, sometimes we've lost some things. Listen. We know you have to live to eat. But also, food can help strengthen a relationship. Food can mean more to you than just giving you strength. Give you an example. You can have a cake, and you can have candies, but it's not really a birthday cake till you can share it with someone. Food builds relationship. You have to be in a pretty close relationship to share an ice cream cone with somebody.
Amen.
You know, some of the best meals that we have at this church are called potluck, where everybody brings their favorite dish and we put it all together and we just eat a little bit of what everybody brought. Those kind of things build relationships. Those kind of dinners mean something. I think those times when we sat around the family dinner table meant something to us as we were younger. And I'm sorry that some of the younger generation don't get to experience that, even in the Bible. It talks about how meals can heal relationships, can honor someone. Remember, in the story of the prodigal son, what was one of the first things the father did?
Make a feast.
Killed a fatted calf, had a big meal for his son to honor him because his son who was lost now come home.
Amen.
After the resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And they have a reconciliation breakfast right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with fish and bread, where Jesus reconciled them with Peter and the other disciples who had denied him in other ways. See, these meals can mend relationships. They can be important to us. When Jesus talked about food, Jesus frequently was speaking about food, but he was more than just talking about the physical food. He was talking about the spiritual food. When we as Christians, when we have faith in God, it gives us the ability to not only see physical things of life, but it also allows us to see the spiritual things of life. Mm-hmm. We understand in the physical life that food is as important and we need it to survive. But we also know that no one lives by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, we understand that too.
Amen.
We understand why Jesus called himself the bread of life. So when we look at this story today, in Matthew, the 14th chapter. Story of Jesus feeding the multitude. I want us to look at not just the physical hunger that was satisfied that day, but I want you to look at the spiritual feeding that Jesus gave them as well. I'm going to be in Matthew, the 13th chapter. 14th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves." Is that word vittles?
Victuals.
I guess.
Victuals.
Victuals.
Maybe that's where vittles came from, though.
I guess.
Victuals.
But Jesus said unto them, "They need not a part. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Kind of set the stage here. Jesus had just found out that John the Baptist had been executed by Herod. John was a close, more than just a friend, he was his cousin. And he loved John the Baptist. So when he heard about this, he was saddened and he wanted to go off to be by himself with the disciples. To grieve. Understand now, Jesus was at his height of popularity right now. Everywhere Jesus went, people followed him. And instead of finding solitude here for the disciples and Jesus to grieve, they were met with thousands of people who needed healing. And you know what a soft touch Jesus is. He can't observe human suffering and not do something about it.
Amen.
So he began the healing. He was so into the healing that he didn't realize the time had passed by so quickly. And so the disciples, who were, I'm sure, tired and weary and sad, come to Jesus and said, "Master, you know what time it is? I mean, there's no Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell around here that I can see. You need to get to send these people home so they can get what they need." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We need to send people away so they can get what they need. that what we do?
No.
Today? We want to send people away so they can get what they need. It's important that we look at what Jesus does here. Jesus says to them, no, we're not going to send them away. I want you to take care of them. I want you to do it. And despite their protest, they just don't have enough to do that. Jesus says, bring me what you have. Just bring me what you have. All they had was a basket of a few loaves of bread and a few fish that a little boy had brought. They brought it to Jesus. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it back to them and said, now go give it this out. And guess what? It was enough. Jesus took what they had and made it enough. It wasn't just enough. It was more than enough. Mm-hmm. There were baskets left over. You know, it's kind of hard to detect a tone in a voice by looking at the scripture. But I think I can hear Jesus when these disciples come to him and tell him they need to send him away. I think I can hear his voice saying, you take care of him. I want you to do it. I want you to bring me what you have. Jesus says the same thing to us today. Bring me what you have. And just like the disciples, you know, we complain. Jesus, don't you know how tired I am? Man, it's been a long week. Worked hard all week. I'm under a lot of stress here, Jesus. You just don't know how hard life can be. The doctor tells me I need to lose weight. My dentist tells me I need to get work done on my teeth. My wife is griping at me. My children are not doing what I asked them to do. I just don't have that much to help with, Jesus. There's not much in my basket. I may have a couple of fives, a 20, maybe a couple of ones. That's all I have, Jesus. I just don't have enough. There's just not enough in my basket. Jesus said, bring me what you have. Just bring me what you have. And he blesses it. And he makes it enough. More than enough. More than enough. Jesus worked through these disciples. It wasn't Jesus that blessed the fish, broke the bread. It wasn't Jesus that passed it out. He told the disciples, you go pass it out. You go pass it out. God calls us to do the same thing today. We are God's hands.
Amen.
We are His feet.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We have a responsibility not only to help feed the hungry, but to be there for the lonely, the depressed, the hurting. All these broken people that are around us, all around us. God just wants us to bring what we have. You know, I heard it explained this way to me one time. When we come to Jesus, we take this $1,000 bill and we lay it on the altar, and saying, "Here, Lord, this is all I have. It's all for you." But then Jesus tells us to go to the bank, cast that $1,000 bill in the quarters, and take those quarters. And you, as you go through life, you give away 25 cents here, give away 50 cents here, and so on, and so on.
Amen.
We have to not only give of what we have, we have to give of ourselves.
Amen.
Instead of watching a ball game on TV, we can spend somebody visiting a lonely person in the nursing home that has no family. Instead of drinking coffee and reading the newspaper on Sunday morning, we could get dressed and come teach a Sunday school lesson. Instead of playing a game on my phone, I could use that phone to call somebody that's having problems, that needs somebody to just listen to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Even though we're tired, even though we have our own problems to deal with, we have to be willing not to push people away, not tell them, "You need something, go get it over here." We need to be that person that needs those things. When we do those things, the grace of God can work through us then. We can help somebody. May not be a spectacular miracle, like feeding a multitude with just a few loaves of bread and fish. But you can help bring meaning and significance into another person's life. You can change a person's life. And I promise you this, to God, that's a momentous miracle. That's a huge miracle. When we give of ourselves to help somebody else, when we help change other people's lives, it's so easy for us. You just say, "I don't have, my basket is empty. I just don't have enough." When I look at this little church, the little handicapped church here on the corner of Day Street and Jim Miller and Pleasant Grove, it just seems like, what can this little church do? What can, in this huge city that has so many problems, what can one little church like this do? There are mega churches out there trying to reach people. We just don't see how this little church with these few people and such meager resources could possibly help. Jesus said, you bring what you got. Bring me what you have. Do what you can do. I will make it enough. I can make it. We can't make it enough on our own. But God can take what we have. He can bless it and give it back to us and says, now you go out there and share it. It will be enough. No, not enough. It will be more than enough. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we see this story that you have shared with us about how the message here is, Father, that we just take what we have, what little we have, we just take it and bring it to you. Father, you're going to bless it. And that little bit is going to be enough to accomplish great things because you make it enough. You make it more than enough. You give us it. Father, I thank you that you're that kind of God, that you can take the little that we have and make so much out of it. Father, it's so important for us to be generous with our money. So important that we be generous with our time. So important that we be generous with the talents that you have given us. And we give you everything. And we don't push people away and tell them you need to go here and you need to go there. Father, we help meet the needs of the people that we come in touch with every single day. Father, you have shown us what we give away grows, what we try to keep just perishes. Father, I thank you that you have called these wonderful people into this ministry here, Father. I'm so proud of the way these people are so willing to share and do for other people. Father, I just want this little church, this little group of people, to understand that you can do great things with what we've done here, and that there are greater things for us to do. We just bring what we have to you, Father. Father, as we talked about in Sunday school, we just need to trust you more. Believe in you more. Be willing to give everything to you, Father. Father, I pray that there's someone here today that is feeling like they just don't have anything to give, that there's just nothing in the basket. You'll show them that you just bring me what you have. You just give to me what you have and let me do the rest. Father, I thank you that you're a God who can do great things, even in small numbers. You can make big numbers out of it. I bless you for that. I thank you for that. Father, I pray speak blessing on this group of people here today. And they receive what you have for them today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We're here today